God proclaims through Isaiah, "Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and God will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We are in the season of Lent, and Lent is meant to be a season of joy. I know as I say that, it sounds a little bit like blasphemy. We have the lights dimmed as we do tonight. We have our sacred spaces draped in purple. There's meant to be a sense of due diligence to what we do in the presence of Christ, even though when we're honest with ourselves, we struggle to see Christ on our daily basis. Lent is somber psalms. Lent is sober prayers. Lent is calls from church leaders like myself who invite us into it, adding a practice or maybe taking something out of our lives so that maybe, just maybe, we can get our heads and hearts towards God. That, none of that, sounds joyful. It doesn't sound liberating. It doesn't sound like hope. It doesn't sound like resolve. It sounds a lot like work. Lent has often carried with it an air of disappointment, self-inflicted disappointment, if you will, that we aspire to do and then we fall short of our own goals. Maybe a little bit of doubt and not knowing if God will hear us. Maybe that's why we like Lent. In a sense, we like Lent because we're able to be honest with God during this season, that we're able to stand before God or kneel before God. So we come here tonight. It's Ash Wednesday. We come here to have a mark of cross placed on our foreheads. And even if we haven't been into this worship house or any worship house in years upon years, we get it. We understand that ashes represent the last remaining remnants of life. We are broken down to our core element tonight. And yet ashes are so supposed to somehow write a message of joy on our foreheads. And if it's not the songs, and if it's not the prayers, and if it's not the words, and if it's not the signs of the mortality that we surround ourselves with, then maybe it's the readings that we will encounter throughout this entire season, like our readings from tonight. God speaks to us through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, if you ever check out Isaiah in the Bible, Isaiah is a little long-winded. Isaiah is also deeply wise. And Isaiah keeps giving us these words that are meant to be God's word, and God is calling us back. And in our reading for tonight, in this season and in this night, when we are seeking what God is doing with us and looking for a little bit of hope, God tells us that we can keep all of our worship practices. Keep them to ourselves. God doesn't want them. God doesn't want our morose faces. God doesn't want our sober songs. God doesn't want us to have our 12-hour or our 40-day fasts. None of that means anything to God, especially if we are doing any of it in order to grab God's attention, to demonstrate in some radical way that we really aren't who we actually are, that somehow this season we're going to be different from who we are during Christmas or Easter or on those beautiful summer days when we come to worship feeling good. Somehow tonight, somehow this season, we're going to be a little different. We're going to be maybe a little more pure. Maybe we'll be a little more repentant. Maybe we'll be a little bit more morose, a little bit more meaningful. God, speaking through Isaiah, tells us that God's not all that impressed. God doesn't need Lent. And God gets right down to it through the prophet Isaiah. God, being God, gets rather direct. God speaks to our worship patterns. God speaks to our prayers. God speaks to our ash-laden foreheads. And God tells us that if we are not living for the sake of our neighbors, then none of it means anything. Because what we are doing is probably just simply trying to make ourselves feel better, which is hard to hear, even when it comes from God. God comes to us through these words tonight, and God tells us that if we are choosing to fast, that while we do this season, there are people down the street from us who don't get to choose. They are simply hungry. They'll be hungry tonight, and they'll be hungry tomorrow, and they will be hungry throughout the season of Lent and probably beyond. God calls on us and invites us to contemplate that when we consider changing our clothes and maybe putting on something that's a little bit more Lent appropriate, God reminds us that there will be people down the street. We will have neighbors across this country who will simply be wearing hand-me-downs and rags that they keep having to sew together so that they can be warm. While we gather in this shelter, this warm space, it actually feels a little warm tonight. This space that's full of songs and prayers and dim lights, God comes to us and says that there are others who will be sleeping outside, sleeping in their cars, sleeping on a couch, sleeping on an alley. God tells us in this season of Lent, when we are contemplating all that we are called to do and all that God is in our lives, that there are some people who are going to be kicked out of their homes this month, and some of them will be kids. There are some people who are being disavowed for all their failures tonight, some people who are being disavowed and disowned by their own church this season, some people who are being told that who they love and how they love does not measure up, some people who are going to be deported, some people who are going to be denied health care, some people who aren't going to be able to get a stable job, some people who can't even get a hand up when they're stuck in the mud and the ash and what's left of their lives. God and Isaiah come straight for us. And God uses words that are pretty strong. And God speaks to our hearts, and God comes through our minds, and God gives us a response to all of our prayers. God who's in our homes, God who's walking up and down these streets, God who knows the cries of our neighbors and knows the cries of every single one of us who come here. We are looking for hope, and God is speaking hope. And it doesn't sound like hope. Maybe it sounds like more work. It sounds like impossible work. God is talking about cutting loose people who are bound up in their injustice and oppression. God is talking about children of God's own people. Children who have no dignity, who are being denied, who are being disconnected from all that they know. God is talking about people who are starving, who are naked, who are exposed to the cold winter winds that are outside right now. God is speaking and responding to our broken world, and God is bringing relief. God is bringing restoration. God is giving us an incomprehensible vision of justice, reconciliation, binding us back together, bringing us back as one body again, forcing us to contemplate our hearts and to rationalize how we exist as our neighbors have to rationalize their poverty. And they have to make their pleas to those who have power or privilege or the ability to look away. God comes with hard words. And they feel like Lent words, and they feel like difficult words, and quite frankly, in the presence of God, they sound like impossible words. We can't do this. Any of this. You and I don't have that kind of power. We don't have that ability. We can pray and we can sing, but we can't fix these problems that God is speaking of tonight. It is impossible. It is implausible. It is beyond our capabilities. It's beyond what we could even imagine our God being able to do, let alone happening in our world. And as we contemplate these words, then we start getting even more disappointed. Maybe we get filled with even more doubt. Then we start thinking that there really is nothing we can do. And we are stuck at the very edge between our life and our own death. And when we reach that moment, when we finally get to that point where we acknowledge that we are helpless, when there's nothing we can do, there's nothing these hands can accomplish, when we realize that we are utterly on our own and dependent on God, that's the moment. That's the moment of our mortality, when God comes to us and reveals that we have grace. God's grace. Because we can't fix this world, at least not with our two hands. We know ourselves too well. When we start rebuilding things, we inevitably just build them back into our own image. It's God. It is only God who can reveal our sin and then eradicate it with a breath. It is God, only God, who can lift us out of our ash and dust and declare us whole, alive, renewed, redeemed, forgiven fully, not just tonight, not just in this wonderful season, forever. Forgiven forever, loved forever. That's the joy of Lent, recognizing that there is nothing we can do, and yet God loves us anyway. We cannot reach the kingdom of God, and yet God keeps coming for us. This is our good news. These are the words that we may miss in this season when we are standing in our prayers and our frustration and our disappointment, when the sins of this world continue to run rampant and we are utterly helpless. When we are walking on our own, God shows us that God walks with us, that God is by our side, that God is pouring out a grace that is so ridiculous, that is so abundant, that is so frivolous in this world, that it overflows us and splashes out from us and touches every man, woman, and child who we meet. God who claims us so fully that everything we do is touched by God's grace, that we are utterly transformed and then we are sent out to help form a new kingdom that God brings. God marks us with a cross that we will not be able to wash off tonight. Even when we're not so sure, even when we have those moments when we can't believe that God is near, God walks with us. God loves us. God forgives us. God rewrites our thoughts. God rewires our hearts. God comes into our lives and believes and gives us the power of God's grace until we can see for ourselves that God's kingdom is abounding, that God's kingdom is moving through us, that God is bringing justice and mercy into this world, and God is doing it by our hands. Lent is a season of joy because we get to hear every single week that we are set free, that there is nothing that holds us back, that there is no sin, there is no brokenness, there is no scar, no shame that can keep us from reflecting and living and dwelling in God's love. Lent is a 40-day walk out in the wilderness, leading us to hope. Lent is a radically short span of time when we get to be turned back to grace so that we can then turn back to our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members, people who we care about, people who we haven't met yet, who are suffering, who are starving, who are silenced, and we get to bring this word of grace. We get to live out our forgiveness. We get to reveal God's love for this world as we love others until justice is known, until every person gets to stand upright, until every child of God gets to know that they are loved so fully by God that their bellies are full and they are wrapped in cloth and they are surrounded by grace and love. This is our season of joy, friends. When we get to remember that there is nothing we can do, and there is everything that God will do through us. Amen.